In the spirit of Shakespeare in love, Samantha Silva's debut novel, Mr. Dickens and His Carol, imagines the month that Charles Dickens spent writing one of the most beloved books of the holiday season. London, 1843, Charles Dickens' latest novel, Martin Chuzzlewit, has been pronounced a flop, dead as a doornail. Just a few weeks before Christmas, his publishers come knocking to issue an ultimatum. Write a successful Christmas book in 1 month, or else pay their publisher back the losses. Samantha Silva is an author and screenwriter based in Idaho. Again, the debut novel is Mr. Dickens and His Carol, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Samantha to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So what brought you to look at this and to imagine the month that Charles Dickens spent writing this book, one of the most beloved of the season?
It is. In fact, I call it the second most beloved Christmas story after the original. It actually began 15 years ago, the kernel of the idea. A friend called and said, we should write a screenplay about Charles Dickens sitting around with friends telling ghost stories at Christmas, and that's how he came up with The Christmas Carol, because she'd heard that. But the more we read about it, the more I understood the real story, which I thought was in some ways a better story, and dropped the idea altogether. But it did, in fact, originate as a screenplay. And a couple of years later, I sort of woke up one morning, bolted upright in bed, and understood that I wanted to write about this, and I knew the story, beginning, middle, and end.
So you knew you always wanted to write it as a novel and not look at it as a definitive historic piece about how Charles Dickens came to write the novel.
Other people have treated the actual circumstances around his writing A Christmas Carol, but I rarely think that the true story is the richest and truest story, or the story with the sort of greatest message for us. And I loved the idea that he was overextended, that Charles Dickens was absolutely a literary rock star in his time, that he lived lavishly and was greatly overextended. But part of that was because he was responsible to so many people, including his father, John Dickens, various relatives, friends of relatives. And he received begging letters in the mail every day and was also a great philanthropist, supported and began several charities himself. And I loved the idea that Martin Chuzzlewit was a flop, which it was, and that his publishers came to him and said, because Chuzzlewit is a flop, we're going to have to start deducting from your pay £50 per month if you can't increase sales on this book. And the true story is that Dickens created the idea of a Christmas book he could write very quickly as a money spinner to get himself out of debt. But I loved the idea of Charles Dickens refusing to be blackmailed by his publishers, who came to him and demanded that he write a Christmas book, and which would thrust him on his own sort of Scrooge-like journey and inspire him ultimately to write the book.
So write a successful Christmas book for us. We're going to give you a month, and if you don't, you have to pay the publisher back.
Yes. Well. Again, the true story is that Dickens thought of the idea to get himself out of debt. But I liked the idea that they would blackmail him and he would refuse to do it, because I think that is such a rich, potent conflict to have and to sort of drive him into his own Scrooge-like personality.
Meanwhile, in your story, you portray the family as just assuming this guy is a successful writer, has a lot of money, and they want money from him. They're planning lavish, extravagant parties and trips, and this is all on a guy who doesn't know where the next dime's coming.
Well, I think Dickens was in fact quite successful for his time. But he was overextended, and they lived large. They did. They entertained. They traveled. He had, at this point in his life, he was 31 when he wrote A Christmas Carol. They already had 4 children and were expecting another. And there was really no end in sight to the bills and the commitments, or to their generosity, both Catherine and Charles Dickens. But he did not see the turn coming that Martin Chuzzlewit would be such a flop. And in fact, the book he'd written before that, Notes, American Notes for General Circulation, which was sort of a scathing travelogue of his trip to America in 1842. So he just wasn't prepared. You know, he always assumed that every book would be a success. He hadn't dealt with failure before to speak of. And he really didn't see it coming. So again, I found that to be sort of rich source material for finding the truth sort of at the heart of the fiction of the novel.
And in your story, you have Dickens finding great inspiration in the city of London, of looking at this place and finding inspiration.
He did love London. He loved and hated London, but he went everywhere, saw everything, and wrote it all down. He did, in fact, probably, I would say, to deal with what we would now consider manic depression, he dealt with his depression by walking 20 miles a night through the streets of London, rich London and poor London. And he remembered everything he saw, and he was greatly moved by it, and moved by the plight of people who are poor. And he felt oppressed by the Industrial Revolution, and he was inspired by it. He was also a great mimic, and whenever he met a character, he on the streets of London, he would commit them to memory, their facial tics, their sort of vocal peculiarities, and he turned all of that fodder, you know, including the sort of rot and stench and soot and fog of Victorian London, as well as its colorful characters, into all of his novels, which are really, I think, put together a tapestry of London, in a Victorian London, which Dickens was so much about. That's really what he was passionate about, what he wanted to write about. And he wanted to give voice to people who he felt hadn't been represented in novels. So he finds that in the city, and by walking the city, by walking Victorian London, he finds all this rich material, which is vast and so much part of the tapestry of his novels.
So in your novel, we meet Eleanor Lovejoy. Tell us about this character and what she ultimately does for Dickens.
I was interested in the idea of writing about a muse for him. Charles Dickens fell in love for the first time when he was quite young. He loved a woman named Maria Beadnell, who's in the novel, and she spurned him viciously, told him his prospects weren't good enough, that he simply would never be good enough for her. And he felt that in some ways he was devastated by it, but he also felt that in some ways she had provided him the muse to propel him into a writing life, if for nothing else than to prove her wrong and to prove himself good enough for her. So I loved the idea of him feeling at a point in his life where he had writer's block and didn't have a muse, whether the muse is the city of London or another person or a Maria Beadnell. And so I liked the idea of a mysterious woman that he would come across who would inspire him and cause him to write, at least begin to write a Christmas novel, even if it's not the novel he ends up with. And that, in fact, the problem of a muse is that she is always a projection for the artist and never seen as a person in her own totality. And I loved the idea of giving Eleanor Lovejoy her own hidden agenda with Dickens, which he's not aware of until the very end of the novel.
What is it like for you as a novelist to be writing about Dickens, to be writing about his characters, to be in his world?
I found that Charles Dickens really got under my skin once I started working on the project. I read obsessively his novels and about him, and I wanted to really know who he was as a human being and what it felt like to be in his skin and walk through the streets of London and see what he saw and feel his own traumas and emotional complexity and flaws. He was, as a 12-year-old boy, his father, John Dickens, did go to debtor's prison and took all the family with him except for Charles Dickens, who did have to spend a year at Warren's blacking factory putting labels on bottles of shoe polish to try to earn enough money to get his family out of debtor's prison. And that was a hugely traumatic experience for him that made him both a passionate champion of children and the poor, but also it was a trauma that he was working out, I think, through all of his novels. So I came to feel very close to him and worked on this for so long that I think my kids at some point thought, oh, Charles Dickens is going to knock on the door and come around for dinner, because he just became a member of the family in many ways. But I did very much come to see him as a flawed human being, as a husband, as a father, sometimes as a friend. But I think he had a heart as big as the world, and that's ultimately what all his novels are about, and the message, certainly, of A Christmas Carol, that it's important that we remember to have an expansive heart and let it include those who have less than we do.
It is obvious that you know the source material and you know the author's work. There are several nods to his work throughout the novel.
Yes, and I had a lot of fun doing that finding those opportunities. I often say that if only Shakespeare in Love had been a novel before it was a movie, that would have been my model. I love the idea of creating winks and nods to the author's work and the author's creativity, because so many of these things are iconic for us, but we don't stop and think about, well, how did Dickens come up with that? And, you know, where would you have found that? And he really was a person who found inspiration everywhere and in everyone. And so I had a great deal of fun. It was sort of like going on an adventure quest to figure out where I could find these little tiny coincidences and anachronisms and plant them in the story.
The name of the new novel is Mr. Dickens and His Carol. The book is published by Flatiron Books. Samantha Silva, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Have a beautiful holiday season.
You too.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the novel, Mr. Dickens and His Carol by Samantha Silva. It is published by Flatiron Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.